opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back. It's a new week, and along with the new week, we're starting out with some great shows. We're going to be breaking the news on a new test technology this morning. In just a couple moments, we're going to be talking about a better way to gauge fatigue and intensity. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to Karen Solomon, and she is the author of Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It, and also Jam It, Pickle It, and Cure It. And this is right in line with our sustainable living approach to dealing with the lack of good food and so on and so forth. I just want to mention a couple things. First of all, you know, the Superhuman Radio official forum is at anabolicminds.com. If you haven't checked out anabolicminds.com, you have to go check it out. You will find, if you go to superhumanradio.com, you'll find our link directly to the forum, and there you can join in the conversations that occur after the show about a lot of the details that we talk about here. Check out that forum today when you have some time. Okay. My first guest is John Collins, and he is with Hyperion Biotechnology. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
A lot of people look to heart rate as a gauge for how hard they're working, but the reality is heart rate really doesn't mean anything. A good friend of mine, Anthony Roberts, and I had a discussion not too long ago, and he said to me, you know, you can sit and watch a scary movie and your heart rate can go up to 150. How hard are you really working? So the reality of gauging how hard you're really training, intensity, and even fatigue is quite elusive, but not any longer because of a saliva test that is produced by Hyperion. Tell us about why did you even develop this, first of all?
Well, it's an interesting story, Carl, and where it really came from was the U.S. military. And as we all know, many of the guys that are serving right now in Iraq and Afghanistan are doing some very arduous duty in very Spartan conditions, and it's very hard, it's very hot. And these guys suffer from a number of things, sleep deprivation, tremendous requirements for physical exertion, and it breaks the troops down. And one of the things that the military command really desires, both in the Army and the Marines, Special Forces in particular, are ways of understanding how they can reduce the amount of physical fatigue that the troops are experiencing in the field, because fatigued troops are troops that are at risk.
Right.
And there's a lot of ways, historically, you know, that you can look at fatigue. None of them are very good, though.
Like, what are the historic methods?
Well, there's a lot of ways of looking at different types of performance measures. That's probably the biggest one out there. Can you shoot a gun in terms of the military perspective? How good is your aim? Are you able to be vigilant? Can you see things coming? What is your strength in terms of doing standardized
physical
testing?
But these are such subjective tasks. I mean, that true fatigue may not even be elucidated if you're just looking at a guy. A guy may be able to shoot with his eyes closed. So what does that tell you about his level of fatigue?
That's exactly right, Carl. And that was one of the big problems that the military was having, because they were putting together some very sophisticated different types of clinical trials to actually look at dietary supplements and other types of interventions. And at the end of the day, they were finding out that they didn't have good outcome measures that really were able to demonstrate any positive therapeutic effects for any of these approaches. So they're in a real dilemma of trying to make systematic progress towards optimizing the performance of soldiers in the field. And that's really what it's all about in terms of the military perspective, is optimizing performance, making people better so they can work harder and endure these terrible conditions that they often have to fight under.
Right.
So what we did, the military gave us a good chunk of money to go forth and explore this opportunity of looking at saliva as a means of objectively measuring fatigue.
So your first task was to actually cause fatigue and then look at the saliva before and after to try to find some biomarkers that occur during fatigue.
That's absolutely right, Carl. And I think you've described it perfectly in a very small number of words. And what we did was we worked with some guys that are amateur athletes initially at a university, and we showed, we put them on the treadmill, and over time, as they were working, the levels of these two peptides that have previously never been described in the scientific literature.
Really?
It's amazing stuff, and they're, we validated fully the identity of these peptides, but let me tell you, they go down by 10,000-fold when a subject becomes intensely physically fatigued.
So that might sound to some people like a very, very difficult task of measurement, but to me it sounds like there's a very broad dynamic range of measurement as a result.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, that's one of the very interesting things about this is that we can detect relatively small differences using a technology, and basically what we offer at fatiguebiomarker.com is a test kit, and it's so simple. Is what you do is you simply spit into a tube, you send it to us, we analyze it using liquid chromatography with a mass spectrometer attached to it. This is absolutely the cutting-edge analytical method that's available out there right now, and we send you back the results and help you with the interpretation.
Okay, so the saliva test, it's not done on the spot. They have to send the test back to you first.
Absolutely, okay. And we provide a mailer for that purpose. And the good news is that we've tested the stability of these peptides, and chemically they are very, very stable, and so sending them in U.S. mail is not a big deal. And spitting in a tube couldn't be easier than that, I think. So it's a pretty good test.
Now, do you have to abstain from, like, lots of guys will use drinks during their workouts, carbohydrate drinks. Do you have to abstain from those, or do you have to abstain from drinking water during your workout, or can you continue to do those things, and will it impede the test?
Well, that's a great question, Carl, and one of the things is, the short answer is no. You don't have to take any kind of special precautions when taking the test. And in fact, we've looked at things like carbohydrate feeding. And guess what? Carbohydrate feeding, for example, does not affect the test and seems to have little impact on fatigue.
Really?
In the real near term, you cannot rescue yourself. And I think most endurance athletes are familiar with this. At some point, you can't rescue yourself with more carbohydrate loading. And indeed, the test does show that. With regard to the hydration question, another great question, the answer is that we build in controls there that control for the hydration.
In other words, you have a baseline marker that you use to determine the amount of hydration that is because obviously dehydration could cause a greater concentration of these peptides, and hydration can cause a more diminished concentration, right?
Carl, you are very good. I have to admit, that's exactly right. And what we do is we include measurement of a peptide which is constitutive in the sense that its level increases as the amount of hydration changes. And so this is a way of correcting for alterations in the hydration status. To date, we've measured the biomarker at about 300 different folks, typically fairly young folks, a lot of special forces people that we've worked with on this, and the results are pretty robust at this point.
Now, obviously, you're not comparing this to some other test, so this is adequate. As long as you have a starting point or a baseline of fatigue, and then perhaps post-exercise another test, it should be a good evaluation of how fatigued somebody is. I want to do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to delve a little bit deeper into how this test could be used for athletes and some other applications. We're talking with John Collins, and he's with Hyperion Biotechnology. Give the website again, John.
It's FatigueBiomarker.com.
FatigueBiomarker.com. We'll be talking about pricing and everything when we come back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage one releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage two is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHRO. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody to go to MikeMahler.com. Mike is constantly updating his list of cities where his upcoming seminars will appear. You don't want to miss this opportunity to sit in with some of the most exciting seminars about hormone optimization, kettlebell training, and more. Go to MikeMahler.com today and see if he's coming to a city near you. My guest is John Collins. He's with Hyperion Biotechnology. We're talking about a new, never before available, because the markers weren't even available to be measured before this. A new test that will allow you to gauge how hard you're really training in the gym. Can someone use it for this, John? If I wanted to say, okay, I go in and I do a routine, whatever it is. Let's say it's a kettlebell swing routine, which is very, very cardiovascularly challenging. And let's say I normally do 250 kettlebell swings with a given weight in a given period of time. Could I check my markers beforehand and then after and tell just how intense that exercise really was so I don't have to go by perceived exhaustion?
I think that's exactly right, Carl. And I think that's a perfect case where the biomarker system can be used. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you think, what is fatigue? Is it perception? Is it something that we can measure in the body? And I think it's a combination of both. But what was really different here is that we're able to actually tie some real numbers and some real physiology onto fatigue. And this is a real exciting opportunity.
Now, I have to ask you something. I know that you've been working with the U.S. military for quite some time, and we're talking about some very, very elite special forces groups. So we're talking about guys who are genetically gifted warriors, if you will. Have you noticed any correlation between perceived exhaustion and fatigue? In other words, if a guy thinks I'm pushing as hard as I can, do these peptides go up or down? Which way do they go? Do they go down when you're fatigued or up when you're fatigued?
Well, when you're fatigued, you think you're fatigued. But again, it can be deceptive. And sometimes people that think they're doing all right, they really aren't. And the other part of that argument is true as well. Yeah, it's interesting. I think what this really gets to, though, is that people often are living in what I would call a kind of fatigued lifestyle, where their fatigue biomarker levels tend to be low. And what that means is that they're very fatigued.
Oh, so in this test, the lower the peptides, the greater the fatigue level.
That's exactly right, and I want to avoid confusion with that, but
yeah. That's
just something that we've worked with. And here's what was really surprising to us. We looked at 150 Special Forces folks that were coming in from basic training into their first indoc school, which is what when you join up in the military, you can say, hey, I want to be considered for Special Forces, and you have to meet a bunch of physical performance requirements,
right,
as well as other strict list of requirements just to get in the door. And then once you get in the door, typically somewhere between 50 to 90% of the candidates going into a initial special forces school are washed out. And many of them for failure to be able to measure up in terms of the physical performance requirements that are put on these young guys, and they're typically pretty young. What we discovered, and this just blew our mind, and I think the military folks got very excited about this as well, is that coming into it, day one of your initial day as a Special Forces candidate, if you have a low level of the biomarker suggesting that you are fatigued, you are five times more likely to be washed out than the guy that has a significantly higher level. And we found that this was statistically significant, an independent measure of success in Special Forces.
So at some point in time, the government, once they become fully trusting of this, right?
Yeah.
And it reproduces itself over and over again, then I would imagine that along with that battery of challenges that a guy has to perform to meet the first level to even get in the door, he's probably going to have to spit in the cup too. And if he fails that one, they're just going to say, look, we know that you're not going to be able to make it. We're not going to waste the time and effort right now.
That's exactly right, Carl. I think as a triage tool to disqualify some individuals, it could happen that way. It could also happen that individuals that seem to have the right stuff, but for some reason are living in this kind of fatigued lifestyle, there may be easy solutions to offset these deficiencies that lead to this fatigue state.
Oh.
And I think that's the really exciting thing, is that we can take people that are inherently quite capable but fatigued and make them better. And this is the tool that enables us to make that leap towards optimizing our own physical performance capability.
Now, are we talking, when we talk about the fatigue of like a special forces guy, we're not talking the post-exercise fatigue of doing a task. We're talking about the cumulative fatigue because he's not recovering day after day of being pounded. That's right.
And some people don't recover. Some people, and there's a number of reasons, as you know probably better than I do, why people don't recover. And again, the fatigue biomarker test goes to the heart of that and really says, you're fatigued, there's some proximal causes for that, let's find out what they are. And this tool enables you to dissect your own lifestyle, your own approaches to optimization, and really get at the heart of the matter and understand what works for you. And I think that's the most exciting thing.
Will Hyperion ever become more on the counseling side and say, okay, not only do we see you have fatigue biomarkers, but we also notice these other biomarkers which indicate your diet is wrong, you're not getting enough sleep, or that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we're working with the federal government through different grants and contracts to do exactly that. And for example, there's a big push in the military right now for increasing what's called resilience, which means the ability to withstand different types of challenges, both in terms of physical challenges, but also psychological challenges. And I think what's evolving in the fatigue literature right now is this understanding that fatigue plays a significant role in mental health issues. It plays a significant role as we get older. It's an important part of geriatric medicine, and it's super important to the amateur athlete or the professional athlete that wants to achieve the most that they can achieve. So it has a huge application, I think, Carl.
Now, what about a coach out there who says, look, I know when my athletes are becoming fatigued, when the term that we use in the sports industry is overtraining. I know when my athlete is overtrained. And basically what overtraining basically means is that you're doing much more work than the body can recover from. So you're constantly in a state of regression instead of progression. So, and he says, I don't need this. How is this going to help me? I already know that if I put, can this actually be so predictive that you don't even push an athlete into overtraining?
I think, yes. And in fact, we've talked to some folks in the NFL about this, because I'll tell you what, Carl, the truth is, that some folks don't always have the athlete's interest in mind, and there's often interest on the part of athletic directors and coaches to push people further than they otherwise can go. And what that leads to, as we know, is a diminishment in physical capability and actually sometimes outright injury. And the test can say, hey, hold on, back off. You're overtraining, you're pushing this guy too hard. Now let me tell you something, this is true of amateur athletes as well as our special forces people, is that their gut instinct is to say, I can do it, no matter what, I can do it. When the right answer is to say, I'm in a good position to get this work accomplished right now. But the test is what enables one to make a rational decision regarding these kinds of things. And overtraining is something that speaks right to the matter of the test, and I think we can really mitigate a lot of the injuries that occur and a lot of the regression.
So many things, are going through my head right now. So many things. You have no idea. I mean, this test is so intriguing to me. I would love to see what anabolic steroids do to, the rate of fatigue and recover, which obviously enhances recovery. So the rate of fatigue. I would love to see, what different types of dietary modalities, you know, the low carb, no carb versus the high carb, high protein. I believe high protein is so critical to staving off fatigue because we know there's a relationship between leucine and serotonin receptors start to produce the fatigue feeling when serotonin is produced during exercise. So there's so much that's going through my head that I want to say, have you guys tried this? Have you guys looked at that? And I know you haven't because you just came out with this. How long ago did you come out with this?
Well, we developed it in 2006, and again, it's a long haul when you're doing what is really basic scientific research. And we started with some money, about $1 million that we got from the Army to get this thing going, and the Air Force has also supported this some. So it's been a long time in coming, and now we're at the stage where, yeah, we need to look at all these different populations. And in fact, we're looking at with the military at different types of interventions, just like what you're talking about. Because there are a lot of drugs and other things, even caffeine, for example. What impact does that ultimately have on fatigue?
Creatine. Just something as simple as creatine monohydrate.
Oh, absolutely. We would love to do that. And I'll tell you what, Carl, the way that we have structured the website, fatiguebiomarker.com, is to enable people to really test, do their own testing on themselves, and really examine scientifically what different types of interventions like creatine are having on their fatigue level. And in fact, we offer, three different tests. One, which is a spot check, a single test for $55. It's a single test that puts you in and says, hey, are you in a fatigue state?
Right now. Like whenever you take the test, that's what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And we would encourage folks to say, hey, this is my average state of being kind of thing. You know, that we're going to measure you on a regular Tuesday afternoon, if that's what you think your kind of median life is. And then we can compare you to the population that we've measured over time, these 300 subjects that we have data for, and say, here's where you fall on it. And, you know, say, hey, you look like you're in really good shape, or maybe you look like you have a fatigued lifestyle, you know. And then the second one is for $95, where we provide two tests. And this is the one where you could say, is my workout intensive enough? And for example, you would take the biomarker test before you do a workout and then after. And that'll tell you just how much exertion you're really putting into this workout. And it'll tell you this. It'll tell you, for example, am I overtraining? Is my fatigue level so low that I'm likely to be overtraining?
And well, what about using it? What about finally establishing for each individual, it's going to be different, especially if they're drug using athletes. Finally establishing the proper amount of rest and recuperation by doing a very, very hard training session. Obviously taking your pre-baseline, doing a very, very hard training session, doing post-exercise, and then doing maybe every 12 hours or 24 hours thereafter until your fatigue levels are gone again and you're back at a recovered point where that's the time to train again.
You bet. You bet.
I mean, that sounds like an exciting example right there.
Oh, I agree. And you know what? We're a little bit different, I think, than a lot of companies because this technology is evolving. I'm not going to say that we know everything about it yet. And we would be very excited to work with individuals one-on-one to design a testing regime that fits. And I think you hit a nail on the head. That's exactly right. When do people recover? When is a good time?
Right, because everybody says 72. You should not hit a muscle group again for 72 hours, or you should train once every 2 days. And everybody has their own theories on this, but it's unique to each individual and their ability to recover. This would give you the exact amount of time you need to be off to be ready to train again, in my opinion. We're going to take another commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up with some medical applications for this product. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. If you want to learn more about this wonderful test, go to fatiguebiomarker.com. We'll be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience of being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is an necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about a new saliva test that allows you to gauge your actual level of fatigue, exhaustion, and thus the intensity of your workouts, without guessing at it or wondering or looking at heart rate, which means nothing at all. But also, aside from helping you in the gym, this product also has many potential medical applications. The first one that comes to mind, John, is the traditional stress tests. They'll take a person who they're worried about some cardiac event occurring. They'll say, well, we have to give you a stress test. They'll attach a bunch of equipment to him, put him on a treadmill, and try to kick his heart up as high as they can. Quite often, they can't get this person into the range that they want to test the heart because they're out of shape. And so then they have to go to a chemical stress test, which is very scary. It actually can push people into a heart attack, where they inject you with, epinephrine, norepinephrine, something like that. It causes your heart to race and your body to just really experience stress. Would you be able to use this test instead of that?
Well, Carl, I think the short answer is the stress test. I'm not a cardiologist, but the stress test measures something which is really peculiar and is sort of cardiac specific. I think our test, what that does is it tells the person where they're going, what life they're leading. It's an indicator almost like measuring body temperature or blood pressure. And we think of it as being the new vital sign, perhaps, about where you are. And I think if you've already had a heart attack, this is maybe the product for you to get back on a healthy lifestyle. But this is the product that you want to use, the test you want to use, to evaluate your current lifestyle so you're not sitting on that treadmill suffering through a stress test and wondering when your next heart attack is going to occur.
Okay, on that note, let's say we're not even interested in exercise ability performing strenuous exercise. Let's say we're more interested in looking at the effects of our lifestyle. You know,
right.
A guy who is in a high-pressure job, he's getting very little sleep, he's surviving on coffee, and he's thinking to himself, I just know I'm doing damage to my body, but I don't know what that damage is. I'm speaking metaphorically now. I don't know what that damage is until symptoms occur, and when symptoms occur, it's way too late. The problems have been around for a long time. So should I be concerned about my stress, and if so, should I be using a device like this, a tool like this, to evaluate how my everyday life is affecting me?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's exactly how I see this test being used by a lot of folks. And this isn't limited to athletes. This isn't limited to just young people, special forces guys. This is all about the folks that are in middle age and later age. This is about women. This is about men. This is even maybe about children that are having stressful lives and are suffering from fatigue. And I think, that's exactly right. Because if you take this test and you find out, wow, I'm doing okay, doesn't mean necessarily you're perfectly okay. You may have other issues going on in your life that you need to take care of. But if you test very low, you can come in and say, gosh, there's something going on that I can identify, that I can make my life better because I think that the bottom line here, this is a tool that says there's something I can do to make my life better. We don't have the solution what that necessarily is, but we do give you the insight to explore ways of making your life better, getting more sleep, getting a better diet, working out a little bit more, all these things, and see whether or not you're going down the right road or whether or not you have to really start thinking about making some serious changes to stave off that heart attack.
I want you to remember this conversation. I see this test finding its way into court, into the judicial system, and here's how. I'm just giving an illustration. This is not exactly how, but this is an illustration. I'm going through a litigation with someone, and I am becoming sick from the stress and the fear of the damages that are being occurred, maybe financial damages to me through this. Let's say a divorce. I'm going through a bitter divorce, and I'm being pounded into the pavement by the judicial system, and I start taking my stress tests starting at the beginning of the process through the end, and I find out that my health has failed, and I want to now sue somebody for putting me through this, for damaging my health. I see this being used that way.
Oh, absolutely, Carl. I think that's a great point. And in fact, we presented this data at the International Fatigue Meeting that was held in Fremantle, Australia. And we presented two papers as podium discussions at this great meeting. This is really the big meeting in the fatigue medical community. And we basically got an incredible reception. Everybody said, oh my gosh, just like you, there are numerous applications of this technology. And one of them was in accident mitigation, for example, that folks that are too fatigued are more likely to get into accidents.
Oh, okay. I like that. Okay.
You know, and in fact, we have a publication now that's been accepted in accident prevention. It's a journal that really deals with mainly with transportation issues, but you can imagine there's a lot of issues.
Like pilots, there. pilots. They can, you know what? The pilots live very, very dangerous lives. They fly for days on end. They sleep in hotels. They're fatigued when they get in planes. You have a lot of the little mishaps that occur in commercial travel are because pilots are being pushed to the nth degree. I can see pilots using these tests and having a record of how fatigued they were every time they fly.
Oh, absolutely. This has to do, you can imagine, a physician, a surgeon. Do you really want a surgeon that's working on you that is just intensely fatigued? I think the answer is of course not. Do you want a pilot, a bus driver, anybody? I mean, in a bunch of different professions like this, law enforcement, you can understand how the military encompasses all these different professions and why they were so interested in this, honestly. But you're right. I mean, it is a intensely important thing for industrial applications, for law enforcement, for transportation, but more importantly, it's for the guy, like you say, that's going through a bitter, acrimonious divorce, let's say. It's for the guy that's living on the edge. It's for the woman with three kids that's going nuts and saying, I can't get a handle on my fatigue. I can't understand what's going on. I need to live a better life. And this gives you the insight to know how to correct that.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Now, before we go back to exercise, what other applications do you see in medical that you can discuss? Obviously, I know that there's a lot going on in the background that you really can't discuss, but what other applications do you see this product being used in?
Yeah, you're right, Carl. I have to be very, very careful about what I can say here because we're exploring many different medical applications here. And let's just, what I'm going to do is talk very generally about fatigue. Fatigue has a big role to play in our mental health. It has a great role to play in cardiovascular health. It has a big role in, let's say, the patient that is suffering from cancer and a lot of these horrible diseases that we get at the latter part of our life that are characterized by fatigue. Who wants to spend the last couple of years of your life, you know, just suffering and just dragging around? Again, the tool enables one to get a better handle on that and how to offset some of those problems that happen when we get these terrible diseases. I think the other thing is, looking even at children, how can we make obese children? Obesity is an epidemic in this country. And one of the applications that I think is very exciting for this technology, and one that I don't mind talking about because it is covered under our patent, is using this measurement thing to understand, is your workout intense enough to start bringing off the pounds that you want to bring down? And part of that is you don't want to overtrain. You want to be in the zone where you're not overtraining and causing muscle damage, but you want to be in that zone where you're actually burning up some significant amounts of fat. And I think the biomarker is also a good way of getting a handle on that. And that's hugely important to guys like me that are in middle age, and you know, we're thinking we need to stay healthy. And so
that's what I train very hard. I mean, I train as hard as I can. I get my heart rate up very, very high. I tend to huff and puff in the gym. And I think I'm training as hard as I can. I wonder if I am, but that's the thing. I'm wondering if there's a mental governor that shuts you down. And if I knew that I could push a little harder, maybe I would have the courage to do so. I can see a test like this being very valuable. Even if you don't use it all the time, if you just use it a couple times to put kind of a face with the name, if you will, to be able to put a measurement with the feeling that you have and find out that maybe you can push a little bit harder than you really have been.
Exactly so. And I think we get into this very interesting philosophical question about what is fatigue? And, you know, there are physiologic components that are very straightforward, accumulation of lactic acid, the pain that we feel from that. But there's also a perception. And gosh, you know, maybe the tool is really useful for improving your self-perception and your self-awareness. It could be a great enabling tool for some people, not everybody,
right,
but for some people to say, yeah, hey, look, I can really do this. Or I can push myself a little bit further. I'm not as tired as I really am.
Right.
Which is hugely exciting, and I think, again, goes back to this relationship between the mind and the body.
Yes.
And understanding fatigue in that broader concept, which I think is terribly exciting and something that we're very interested in defining, that philosophy of fatigue.
Yeah. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll tell you again how you can get these wonderful new fatigue tests on your own. You're listening to Super Human Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OP opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today, opresource.net.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you want to get your own fatigue test, go to fatiguebiomarker.com. How long does it take once someone spits in the tube and sends it to you guys? I'm assuming it takes a couple days just to get there. You're in Texas, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so it takes a couple days to get to you. How long does it take once you have it to turn around the results?
It takes about 7 days to turn them around, and again, this is a very, very sophisticated test. Just to give some perspective to the listeners on this, liquid chromatography mass spectrometry is used for some things like vitamin D and for some non-standard analysis that need very good sensitivity and very good chemical precision. The clinical test that would be similar to this, not the same test, but again, like vitamin D, run about $250 to $300 for a single assay. So in terms of the technology that you're getting on this, it's pretty amazing, and the report is quite extensive.
Wow. So 7 days. So if someone wants to use this, the best way to probably use this is to go ahead and do all of your testing ahead of time. In other words, do your pre-workout saliva test, do your post-workout saliva test. If you want to do one the following day, and maybe even the day after, and then send all of those in at one time.
That's exactly right.
And then when you send, what do you actually send back? Do you send back a printed report? Do you email them information? Do they go to your website and get the information? What do you send back?
Well, what we would prefer to do is send folks a PDF of their report, and that'll give you the full context of where you are in regards to population averages, but also where you are if you send multiple samples, how the samples are related to one another, and did the fatigue change significantly or not over time or as a result of some type of intervention that was applied.
Most blood assays have a range where they have a low and a high, and you're considered normal if you're in that range and so on. I can't imagine that you guys have that. I mean, is there any epidemiological research to pull from to create ranges for fatigue?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. And the answer is yes, we do. We
really
do have some pretty good information. Now, for example, we'll send back the results and you'll get a number. One is about where people are when they appear not to be very fatigued. If you're higher than one, that's good. If you're between 1 and 0.1, that suggests that you're getting on the lower side and that you may be getting towards fatigue. If you're less than 0.1, this is a level which is associated with pretty profound fatigue. And so this is based on the 300 individuals that we have evaluated, principally in the military. And these are young, healthy males, just about exclusively. And so that's the population you would be compared to.
Okay, so many questions are running through my head. First of all, I don't believe Parkinson's disease is what they think it is. So theoretically, if someone had damaged neurons in the substantia nigra and they were not producing dopamine, this should have no effect on fatigue. But if one of these people were to spit in one of these vials and come up with a super level of fatigue, that would be counter to what Parkinson's disease is. And the reason I'm elaborating this is because I'm thinking to myself, there are so many, what about people who think they have chronic fatigue, right? They're exhausted, they wake up in the morning, they can go back to sleep, they spit in the tube and they don't show the markers for fatigue. What do you do then?
Well, I think this is a very interesting idea, and I think this is exactly what people can use this test for. It's an enabling kind of test.
Because so many things are painted with the fatigue paintbrush. Lyme disease. Oh, you've got Lyme disease. That's why you're chronically fatigued. And I mean, a test like this could show, well, you don't have any of the fatigue biomarkers. Okay, then why do I feel tired all the time? Well, maybe it's something that's going on in your brain.
Well, Carl, I think once again you have nailed it, because what I think is going on with many types of fatigue is there's a temptation on the part of the medical community to simply paint it as a psychiatric problem.
Right.
And that's the bias right now, is that if you're fatigued, you've got a psychiatric problem. And truly, the problem is that for many types of fatigue that are arising, it's difficult to necessarily determine that there's a physiological cause for this. Now, I can say that the literature, the prevailing wisdom for many types of fatigue is that there was some kind of viral infection that you suffered at some point, and that was ultimately the proximate cause for fatigue.
But how does that collateral, what is the collateral damage that virus did that's causing fatigue? Did it damage the mitochondria? Did it damage the nervous system? What did it do?
Well, and that's where the train comes off the tracks, is that we don't really understand
right. Anything
about that process.
Which leads me to the next, and because we're running out of time, and this is a fascinating subject to me. You know, we now inject peptides. You know, we inject growth hormone, which is 191 amino acid peptide. We now know that clotho is a peptide that may prolong life. We know a lot about peptides now. And so you're telling me that when these peptides get low, fatigue occurs. What about just supplementing with these peptides when somebody is fatigued?
Well, all I can say about that is that we've done a little bit of research in there, and we certainly contemplated that. I think you're right. And I think here's what I'm thinking, is that these peptides, because they occur in the oral cavity and are transferred to the stomach, they may be systemic signals, but they also may be acting locally. And I think they may have strong antibacterial or immune system modulating effects. That would be the first place that we're looking at right now. But you're right, they may just mitigate fatigue altogether.
I mean, the ideal thing would be, number one, to be able to reverse chronic fatigue by supplementing with these peptides. And number two, in a sports environment or in a military environment, to upregulate these peptides, either artificially, you know, endogenously or exogenously, to stave off fatigue during arduous sessions.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that would be hitting one out of the park. I think for
sure.
Well,
let's get on it. Let's get to the guys in China that make all these peptides over there for $1.50 an IU. Come on, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are working. We have synthesized a good amount of this peptide. The good news there, Carl, is that it's relatively short, and that means that you can make very pure stuff for very small amounts of money. So this stuff is going to be cheap.
What's the molecular weight of this particular short peptide? Any idea?
Oh, absolutely. It's the one that's really of interest is about 712.
712 Dalton.
Yeah.
So it's
right,
still,
exactly.
it's relatively small enough to be absorbed in the buccal area of the mouth. You could
absolutely.
Oh
absolutely.
My God! This is exciting stuff. This is exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, too, that these are produced by the salivary gland in milligram quantities per day. And the thing is that nature, as we know, doesn't waste its time doing stuff for no reason at all.
I love this stuff. I want to have you back on the show to talk about these peptides when you're able to really start divulging what they are, when everything is protected and you can start talking about them.
I would be pleased to. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's go ahead and give the website one more time. If you want to learn more about how to test your own fatigue levels to determine if your exercise routines are intense enough or you have more gas in the tank to push, go to fatiguebiomarker.com. John, thanks so much for being on the show today.
It was a real pleasure.
Okay, take care of yourself.
Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Karen Solomon on the show. She is the author of Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It, and Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It. I love the names of those books. And Elisa Profumo is going to be in the studio with me for this interview. Hi, Elisa.
Hey, hey, hey.
Okay, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I ain't saying she a gold digger. That's how long I've been on ya. Get down, brother. Go ahead, get down.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage. And it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHR. ROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Soup Night and Curse. Elisa's eyes just got really... No, that's a clean version of a song.
Oh, good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I have Elisa in the studio because the reality is we probably wouldn't be doing the show if it wasn't for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the one who has the audience now planting their own herb gardens, planting their own vegetable gardens, making their own ginger ale.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many more people doing these things. Obviously, I promoted raw, unpasteurized milk for years and grass-fed beef and returning to more sustainable living.
Right.
But you really can't discuss sustainable living. As we found out when we were trying to buy our tomato sauce
mm-hmm.
that didn't have the plastic lining in the can.
Exactly.
It's like, well, how can we get this stuff? We can't get it anywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the idea comes, well, okay, what's the next step? I guess we have to start canning our own tomatoes, you said, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I said that.
So you found the author of a fantastic book called Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It. And her name is Karen Solomon. How you doing, Karen?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hey, Karen.
Hey.
We have a lot of kitchen nerds in our audience, Karen.
Awesome. I'm in the right place.
We do. You know what the funny thing is? You would not believe that our audience would be into this stuff because they're predominantly athletic types, bodybuilders or sports enthusiasts, very, very driven people, serious career people. But we now know that the only way that we're going to survive is to have quality food. And there is no quality food available in this day and age unless you work hard by going to farmers markets, having relationships with local farmers. And now to the point where you have to start making some of your own stuff now.
I mean, it definitely helps to make your own stuff. And, you know, whether you're concerned about bodybuilding, whether you're concerned for the environment, you know, whether you're just concerned about the health and quality of what you're eating. And yeah, if you're a food geek that's just concerned about your food channels, making some of your own stuff is definitely the way to go.
Now, obviously, this is nothing new. I remember when I was in college getting a copy of four books called the Foxfire books. And are you familiar with these books, Karen?
I don't know those.
Okay, the Foxfire books were put together by some university where they went into the Appalachian region and they went to all of these people who knew how to make dulcimers and home cures and make their own soap. And they said, you know, this is going to be lost someday when these people die off. We have to collect all this information. And we have to catalog it so that people can do this stuff themselves. How to tan your own skins, and I didn't pay attention, but there was sections in there about canning fruits and canning vegetables and all that sort of stuff as well. And I didn't pay much attention to it back then when I was young because I thought to myself, well, that's stupid. I can go to the grocery store and buy that. But now we don't want to go to the grocery store and buy canned foods because we don't even know what we're getting sometimes in these canned foods. So
I know you can't trust it.
So it's not hard to do this stuff at home, is it?
It's really not. I mean, to be honest, most of them, the hardest part is just waiting. You know, some things require a curing period or a steeping period or a fermentation period. But, you know, that's no sweat for the...
Okay, well, let's just jump right into this. What products require a curing period, for instance?
Well, I'm just thinking about... you know, if you're making, in my first book, Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It, I have a great recipe in there for kimchi, which I really
love.
Oh, I love
kimchi. It's so healthy for you, too.
Oh, God, it makes me feel so good to eat it. Like, not just kimchi, because I like spicy food also, but any kind of fermented pickle, you know, I'm all over that. It just makes me feel great to eat it. The healthy probiotics, you know, it's really good stuff. And, you know, you can't rush fermentation. It ferments when it ferments. And
how long does it usually take for things like that to ferment, like kimchi?
Yeah, that's like a 3-day wait.
Oh, that's
but, you
not
know,
so
putting
bad.
It together is, you know, 30 minutes, but waiting for it to ferment is 3 days on that.
Okay, and but that's not really that long when you really think about it. I mean, it's
not at all.
What about canned tomatoes? I mean, Elisa and I love to make. We're both Italian, so we love to make tomato sauce, right?
Yeah.
And we try to buy the best possible tomatoes from Italy because when you buy them from Italy, they don't have that plastic lining in the can.
That's right. And they also taste hella better.
Yeah, exactly. So, but let's say we wanted to start, we have tomatoes growing in the garden. We want to start canning our own tomatoes. What's the process?
That's great. You get, you know, a ton of tomatoes because if you're going to can, if you're going to set the time out to can, you know, you want to make a lot. And also, you guys are Italian, you know, if you go through a lot of canned tomatoes.
Right, right.
Make your pasta, your chicken, whatever.
Right.
You need your soup. You need a lot of canned tomatoes.
Right.
So you get a ton of tomatoes, you clean them, you stem them, you chop them, you put them in a jar, and then you top off the jar with, you know, a little bit of salt and a little bit of lemon juice or citric acid. You just want to make sure that they're acidic enough to be shelf stable.
Okay.
And adding that little, like I love, or you know, I'm in San Francisco, and so out here everybody's growing those early girl tomatoes. I don't know if you guys get those.
No, do we have those, Elisa?
No.
No.
They're a delicious tomato. They taste is unbelievably good, but they're super sweet. So, you know, but you want to make sure that your tomatoes have enough tang that they're going to live on the shelf, you know, for a month, a year, you know, however long you're going to leave them. So you take them, you chop them, you add a little salt, a little acid, just enough, you want to make sure there's enough liquid to cover them up, so that's either with the tomato juices or just topping it off with a little water. And then you lid it and you boil it. And that's it.
So you boil it while they're in, while they're in like a ball jar, for instance, right? You can put them in a ball jar?
Like a canning jar with, you know, with a fresh, clean lid. you know, in the second book, the Can If I Don't Smoke It, I talk a lot about recipes that can be canned, but I actually have a primer on how to can for people who've never canned before in Jam and Pickle It Curate.
I have a question. What's the shelf life once you finish boiling it and then you put it up? What's the shelf life?
The man says, the FDA says, don't eat anything on your pantry shelf that's been there more than a year.
Okay.
That's the official.
Yeah, but I gotta believe.
On day 366, should you throw it away? You know, that's between you and your conscience.
Couldn't you just pop it open and see how it smells?
I mean, you know, well, here's the thing. Some foodborne diseases in canned food, which are very rare, by the way. I always like to stress that. You know, in today's modern canning, with modern canning equipment, is very, very safe. I think the last time I checked the Center for Disease Control rates of foodborne botulism, I think there were 140, don't quote me on this exactly, but it's something like there were 145 cases of botulism in the nation in the year 2009, and 15% of those were foodborne. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a quick crunch on the numbers, you know, it's really not that common.
Right, right.
But yeah, sometimes your canned food can, you know, if it turns funky, if it looks funky, if you question it at all, by all means, either throw it away, or if you take your canned food and boil it for 10 minutes, a rapid boil for 10 minutes, that will kill all botulism.
So that's a great idea, especially
something like tomatoes that you're going to cook anyway. I mean, for the most part, very few people eat canned tomatoes straight out of the jar uncooked.
Right.
You know, that is really a safe and a great entry thing into the world of canning.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear before we go into this commercial break. I just want to make sure I'm clear about something. So you put the tomatoes with the citric acid and a little bit of salt in the ball jar, let's say, or your canning apparatus, whatever, and you put this and you immerse this in boiling water.
Yeah, it's called a hot water bath canning.
And
technique.
So are they capped already, or do you leave them open and then cap them after they've been hot? Because I noticed that when you cap something hot, when it cools off, it pulls the top in. It makes that vacuum.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You want the lid on there and the band on there. And you don't want it screechingly tight, because when there's air in the jar, you want it to be able to lift some of that air out.
Uh-huh.
And then as it cools, once you take it out of the boiling water and you have it resting on your counter and it cools completely, the hot air rises and the vacuum seal on that fresh lid, which is made of like a rubbery material, you can actually hear it more often than not. It goes bing.
Okay.
And that's how you know that your food is canned safely.
Okay.
And then you'll do a little check. You'll press on the top with your finger.
And it shouldn't
and you'll
pop. Sure it shouldn't make
that,
any.
That there's
right,
no it, bounce. It's not no, bouncing up and down.
Right. If it's not good, it'll click. When you push on the top, it click.
And sometimes you push down on the top, and that's all it needed is just a little help just to seal up, and then you're all good.
Gotcha.
And, you know, and if it doesn't seal, then you just treat it, you know, like any other kind of food. You just put it in the fridge and eat it within a week.
There you go.
You don't have to get rid of it.
Yeah, you don't have to throw it away. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Karen. You can go to her website. Her website is easy to remember. It's called canitbottleitsmokeit.com. We'll be talking more about this in just a moment. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The trial Pizol formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too. The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Karen Solomon. She is the author of Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It. You can go to canitbottleitsmokeit.com to learn more. Let's talk about bottling things for a second, Karen, okay?
Sure.
What can you bottle?
What can you bottle? What can't you bottle? Are we talking drinks?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sure. Well, in my first book, I hit the booze pretty hard. I give people a lot of instruction on making limoncello and making infused liquors.
Now, when you say making limoncello, you're talking about making it with grain alcohol, with the what do they call that stuff? Everclear?
No, we can't get that in California. So I use vodka because that's like the most neutral tasting,
right?
You know, spirit that you can kind of, and also an inexpensive liquor. It's just a blank palate ready to accept whatever flavor you add to it.
Right.
So wow. So in the second book I cleaned up my act. I'm on the straight and narrow. And we're talking about some British style ginger beer and also making your own apple cider out of fresh apples. Mm. And then a whole bunch of fruit syrups that are great, you know, as a syrup either for pouring over your pancakes if you're eating sugar. Or for turning into your own soda.
Okay, that's you have a question?
I was going to ask her about almond milk.
And then, yeah, I love the nut milk. That's mine in my.
How do you make?
Fridge every day.
How do you make almond milk?
So I say I have almond milk, rice milk, and coconut milk. And I swear, once you start making your own, you're never going to buy that stuff again.
Well, it's
so
hard.
Almond milk is nothing more than raw almonds and water, and you just soak it overnight. I mean, so a cup of raw almonds, 4 cups of water, soak it overnight. Next day, put it in your blender for 2 full minutes. Like, it really needs a good, strong pulverizing. I know 2 minutes doesn't sound like that long, but But really, count to 120, two full minutes.
Right.
Strain it, drink it, and it's unbelievable. It's so good. It's really? So fresh. It makes me feel like my thirst is being quenched.
Wow. You know,
yeah, it's really nice. And of course, there's so many people who, you know, are vegan or lactose intolerant, you know, and people buy that stuff in those containers, and it's expensive.
And it has a lot of things you don't want.
A lot of fillers in it.
Carrageenan.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff you don't want to eat. And those containers, they can't be recycled. And, you know, not to mention the food miles on lugging heavy liquids across the nation. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Gasoline, yeah. So that's a big one right there. Uh-huh. What about coconut milk? How do you make coconut milk?
Well, I give people a couple options. I you know, depending on how much effort you want to put forth. If you really want to go hardcore, if you're making a great curry, you know, on a weekend, you get your fresh coconuts, you crack them, just a little baking time in the oven really helps you scrape the meat out of the coconut.
Mm-hmm.
You pulverize the meat, you know, either in a blender or food processor, pour water over it, and then strain it through. And I know it sounds like a lot in words, but really, if it's part of a greater dish, you know, you can just do it while you're in the kitchen anyway.
Right.
The flavor is ridiculous, and that you can freeze it. So if you want to make a ton at one time, which really makes the most amount of sense.
How long do you have to bake it in order to get the meat to pull away from the shell?
Wrap it up. I think I say for about 30 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, just wrap it in some foil. I mean, you don't have to do that, but honestly, it's faster than sitting there. And not to mention you won't trash your cutlery trying to get the meat out of the shell.
Okay.
So just give it a little bit of, like, it just kind of steams it, and then it pulls right off the shell beautifully.
As far as the syrups, I could see syrups being helpful, because if you want to try to stay away from refined sugars, I mean, I have to believe that a fruit syrup has to be a better alternative if you're having something that you want to sweeten up a little bit.
Well, I do use white sugar. It's sort of an old jammer's technique of just macerating the fruit and sugar. Like, you just take the fruit and mix it with sugar and let it sit, you know, for a few hours, and then it just releases, the sugar pulls the juices out of the fruit. And then that's sort of a two-for-one recipe, because you get this nice fruit syrup that you can enjoy, and then also you get this fruit that's sort of macerated. So it's sort of like a halfway cooked consistency, and you take it, blend it up, and you have a gorgeous fresh jam that's just ready for your toast.
What about your vanilla extract?
Oh, yeah, all right, so you're talking about food geeks, right? I love, nothing makes me happier than just having my pantry stocked with stuff that I made. You know, I love that. I love the Worcestershire sauce in the book, and I love the vanilla extract in there. It's so easy. It's such a no-brainer. You just, I mean, take vanilla beans, soak them in alcohol for a long time. And then you just kind of, when you get in the habit of it, you just kind of keep it going. And, you know, if you like to bake, you know, then every time you bake, you're putting something that you made into what you're baking. And for me, I love that. Like, it's, you know, not only is it, you know, for all the reasons we talked about, it's better for you, it's less trafficking in the food, but also there's like I don't know how to put it. There's like a pleasure to the sweat equity of making your own stuff.
Well, it's your own. It's your own, too. It's not like, it's like everything that you're putting into your meal is originated in your kitchen or in your backyard. There's something special about that. There's something
romantic
about it. There
really is. I mean, people who garden know, you know, you grow, you're like sure, you sweat all summer and you grew three cherry tomatoes, right? But those tomatoes are awesome because you made them. You know, you birthed them.
It's like,
so
it's like
the same thing.
Like parents with ugly children. They think their children are special.
I don't know what you're talking about. How my children are gorgeous.
But anyway, what you were asking this question the other day. How do you make oregano oil? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. One of our listeners was asking me, and I didn't know.
I took a guess. Here's what I said. I said, put oregano in hot water and boil it. The oil has to come to the top.
No, well, I mean, I've never tried that. I think first of all, it's going to impart a cooked flavor in your oregano, and I don't believe the oil would rise to the top. Can I make a suggestion
on
that?
Yes, please, yeah.
Yeah, ideally fresh oregano, if it's available to you, because that's going to yield a lot more flavor.
Yeah, we have plenty
of
it.
Put that and oil in about equal proportions, about a cup or so of each, into your blender or food processor and just puree. Oh. And that's it. And then strain it through, and then you're going to have a flavored oil. You know, and I just want to emphasize, if you're making a flavored oil, basil oil, oregano oil, you want to keep that in the fridge. That is perishable. You don't want to put that, like, regular oil without anything fresh in it is fine to leave in the pantry. But that stuff, you just want to make sure to keep it in the fridge.
Oh, my God. So that means those ornamental bottles of oil that we've bought that have, like, exactly. Those, if you didn't refrigerate those, you can't use them then.
But, well, you know what they all, if you look at them, they often say, do not eat.
Uh-oh.
Be careful, Carl. Be careful.
So, Karen, we can do that with the basil as well as the oregano, you said.
Oh, absolutely. Or ginger or garlic or hot pepper.
Oh, man, I know what we're doing this weekend.
On this, you know, and mix in any combination thereof, too, you know. Absolutely. And that's a great way to finish off a chicken breast, or to make a salad with.
Oh,
or,
my God, this is a great idea.
You can also use it to make a mayonnaise as well.
Really? How would you make it a mayonnaise?
Yeah, if you, well, in Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It, I have a make-your-own mayonnaise recipe, with, and especially if you're using the kitchen electronics, the almighty food processor, you know, that's a really, really easy thing to do. Eggs, a little salt, and a little lemon juice. And then you just stream in oil. And you can do it by hand if you want your upper body workout. You can absolutely do it in a bowl with a whisk, which is the classic way that, you know, the
oh, my God. I just want to go home and make all these things now.
In a food processor, it does it for you. It's great. You just stream it in, and boom, you got mayonnaise.
What kind of alcohol do you use when you're making an extract, Karen? Like you said about
I usually use, again, vodka because it's because, it, you know, again, it's that neutral flavor. You know, it just takes on the flavor of the vanilla. But, you know, I also like to do it with bourbon, too.
Really?
Which is just nice. It just adds a little subtle flavor. Like, if you're making a banana bread, you know, then you'd want the addition of that subtle flavor sometimes. But if you're making, say, like a, you know, like a really delicate shortbread or something like that, you might not want.
Yeah. So you can have a couple different variations of.
You certainly can use anything. You can use rum, you know, whatever alcohol you like, but just know that anything beyond vodka, you're going to get some of that flavor into your food. So
you have to make sure you want that flavor. You have to make sure you want
vinegars as well. You know, you can definitely infuse your own vinegars just the way you would your own oil. But, you know, if you're going to use balsamic vinegar, certainly that's a really strong flavor. That's going to be in your finished product.
Do you use a white vinegar then?
I'm sorry, say again?
What type of vinegar would you use? Just a clear vinegar?
Well, depending on what you're doing, if you want like no flavor of the vinegar, just the acid bite, the distilled white is I use that a lot. That's one of my favorites. But you know, the apple cider vinegar or champagne vinegar or white wine vinegar, those are going to be a little milder and also bring a little bit of that flavor to the finished dish. So
we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about smoking foods.
Okay.
Because I gave up. I smoked for a short time in high school, but I gave it up. So maybe I'll, that's not the kind of smoking we're talking about. Okay.
We can talk about that too.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Karen Solomon. You can learn more about her book. She's got two different books out there: Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It, which is at canitbottleitsmokeit.com, or Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It.com for the Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It book. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones. And Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried. Because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
You can get can it, bottle it, smoke it, or jam it, pickle it, cure it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, at Borders, or just go right to one of the websites, can it, bottle it, smoke it.com, or jam it, pickle it, cure it.com. We're all about curing things here on the show, too, right? We want to cure disease. And okay. We live in Kentucky. I'm not originally from Kentucky, Karen. I'm originally from Brooklyn.
Your accent, Ked.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you.
When you're from Brooklyn, you talk about smoking somebody. That usually means you're going to kill them, not make them food. But in Kentucky, you can drive down a city street and you can see someone smoking meat. They'll have like a big, it looks like a big barrel on its side, and smoke coming out. In different neighborhoods, you'll see people smoking things. So smoking things is very, very popular here in this region, smoked hams and so on. But Elisa was telling me that you have recipes for smoking cheese, smoking nuts, smoking everything, huh?
I do. You know, in my first book, in Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It, I stuck to pure proteins. I have a great make-your-own bacon recipe in there, smoked turkey breast, smoked fish, you know, so there's a lot going on there when it came to protein. So for this one, I was just thinking, you know, what are some of the things that can, how can you get that good smoked flavor if you either don't eat meat or if you just want to take a little break from meat,
right,
you know? And
right.
And you'd be, I mean, smoked nuts is definitely, you know, a familiar flavor to us all, like smokehouse almonds, you know, people really enjoy that. And smoked fruit is really nice. It's more, the flavor's more complex than you'd think it would be. You know, like a smoked apple, a smoked pear, you want to use like a kind of a good sturdy fruit that's going to stand up to a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one rule for me when it comes to smoking or any kind of kitchen equipment, you know, something I like to think about in my books is I'm a city girl, you know, and I have a very small backyard, and I'm lucky to even have that. So, you know, smoke, barbecue, that kind of stuff, people just go crazy for it.
Yeah.
You can just start buying equipment and start building things that, you know, to make smoking possible that, you know, that would just boggle the mind. I mean, it's pretty incredible. But, you know, I try to reel things in a little bit and scale it way back and just think, okay, what can I do? One girl, one Weber. What can we do together? So that's what the recipes are. I try to bring forth or, you know, are more simple, more basic. It's just coals and, you know, a little bit of some smoking wood chips. And
now, do you have a preference? I can tell you a secret wood that they use here to make some of the best. There's a small town in Kentucky called E-Town. It was actually the subject of a movie called Elizabethtown, actually. And they call it E-Town for short. And in E-Town, they have some of the best barbecue places in the world. One is called the Moonlight. The Moonlight Barbecue. And Moonlight Barbecue is renowned. People come from all over the world to try it. Their secret is sassafras wood.
Wow.
They smoke their chicken and they smoke their meats with sassafras wood, which is it gives everything a yellow cast.
Wow.
Very cool stuff. So what types of woods do you prefer when you smoke?
Well, you know, I'm feeling a little inferior here. I'm just Kentucky is, I'm not going to mess with Kentucky barbecue, that is for sure. But no, I usually use hickory dust. Because I prefer that actually to the wood chips because you don't have to plan ahead to soak it.
Right.
You know, and it's just one less thing that you have to do. And I order it from a great website, sausagemaker.com. Just has all kinds of, you know, meat curing and grilling and sausage making supplies. And I get it in these giant bags. And it just, and to me, that it just yields smoke much more quickly and you use a lot less.
Do you just throw it right down on the charcoals?
No. So I light the grill, and then I take a couple pieces of heavy-duty aluminum foil and lay it out into, like, some big rectangles, you know, a couple of feet of aluminum foil, and then scoop up a couple cups of the dust, of the hickory smoke, the hickory dust, put it in the center, and then roll it up so it's like a tight little package, flip it over, and then stab some holes in the top. You have, like, this little foil pack.
A little smoldering pack, almost.
Exactly. And then you bring that outside, and they put that right on top of the coals. And then that's enough, just being close enough to the heat, that's what gets it smoking really nicely. And it's just more efficient. You know, when you use the wood chips, you have to, first of all, remember
to soak
them
in water. Right, exactly.
And then second of all, I feel like there's always waste. Like, you're always leaving so much in the bottom of the grill.
Right.
But, you know, these are really efficient.
Is there an ideal temperature for smoking?
You know, I'm more concerned with temperature of the doneness temperature if I'm doing meat. Because I feel like in a home barbecue grill on a Weber, you can't really, it's really tough to monitor temperature to the degree.
Right.
So I go by visual cues of, you know, I open the vents on the bottom, open the vents on the top, and then watch to make sure that I'm getting a trickle of smoke out the top.
Gotcha.
And that's my ideal smoking circumstances.
Interesting.
Because you don't want it too hot, obviously. And also you're putting, so for Can It Bottle It Smoke It, we smoke nuts, we smoke fruit, we smoke cheese, and you want to make sure that those are, you put your hot coals on one side of the grill, and then you want the whatever it is that you're smoking on the cold side of the grill. And that, to me, is the best alternative for home use than having to, you know, if you get into cold smoking and buying a cold smoker and setting that stuff up, you know, that's just more effort than I want to put forth.
You know, smoking foods may be a very, very intelligent alternative, and I'll tell you why, especially when it comes to animal proteins. There's a lot of evidence now that high heat cooking of animal proteins causes advanced glycation end products, which are associated with diabetes, ironically. You know, when you have diabetes, you develop them in your body. Well, by cooking meats, the meats develop these AGEs when you cook them at high heats. And so we're starting to learn that cooking at lower temperatures may be a better alternative. Smoking, it doesn't get much lower than smoking. Because the really
the smoke is curing the food, right?
The smoke is curing the food, for sure. Right, because the smoke is curing the food. It's not the heat, right?
Right, ideally, right.
If you have all things working the way they're supposed to.
That's right.
Now, what about cheeses? Don't cheeses melt when you try to smoke them?
Well, so you have to be selective about your cheeses. You don't just want to grab a hunk of Gouda and stick it on the grill. Because first of all, you're going to be very upset with me, and second of all, you're going to be scraping cheese out of your grill grates, which is definitely not fun.
Right.
But I give people a list of some cheeses that
like Parmesan is a hard cheese. You could probably smoke that, right?
Parmesan's a hard cheese. You know, it's funny. I love Parmesan cheese so much, and I love its flavor as is. And I've actually never tried to smoke that.
Oh.
But like a halloumi cheese. And queso blanco, mm-hmm. or there's a Mexican cheese called Contija, C-O-N-T-I-G-A,
okay.
And also a paneer cheese, which is an Indian cheese. And these are all really simple cheeses, just a simple white cheese that are, you know, it's just milk and a little bit of acid. In fact, in my first book, Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It, you can even make the cheese.
Wow. Oh, wait, didn't you say something about ricotta salata cheese, that she has a recipe
yes.
for that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the ricotta salata is a great one for smoking as well.
I love ricotta salata cheese.
I love ricotta salata, too, and that's what Parmesan, I feel like, you know, it's the king of the cheeses. I would never want to, I'd have to try that, actually. See, now you have me thinking. What would that be like smoked?
Yeah, I know. We actually did a show, when did we, for 4th of July, right?
Uh-huh.
We did a show where we talked about our forefathers and their nutritional techniques and whether they liked exercise or not. And we found out that
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, he was so in love with Parmesan cheese that he said that he would, what was the quote he said? He would sell anything that he had now just to get the recipe for Parmesan cheese or something like that.
And he ultimately did get the recipe.
Oh, yeah, he ultimately did get the recipe and started making his own Parmesan cheese as well. Uh-huh. So apparently it was very popular back in the day, Parmesan cheese.
Wow. No, that's interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
It was a cheese of our forefathers.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, they had good taste. I love it.
Now, I know we're not talking about Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It, but I have a question for you about jams. It actually has to do with the packaging of them. I've noticed that people who prepare their own jams and preserves, instead of using the cap of the ball jar, they use wax. Have you ever seen this?
You know, that's kind of an old-fashioned way to do it. You mean canning the jar with paraffin wax?
Yeah, instead of putting a cap on the jar, they would like put melted paraffin wax in the top, and then it would just harden like that.
Yeah, that's really old school. You know, I mean, it's so old school. In fact, I've never done it. I've only ever canned with jars. I mean, I think people do it nowadays. You know, I see sometimes bottles of oil or bottles of vinegar that have the melted wax on top, and I think it's more for aesthetic reasons. You know, you certainly don't have to do that anymore.
Okay. I figured it
sounds like a gooey mess. I mean, but you know, but by all means, if there's people who have been canning that way for decades and that's what they know and that's what they love, you know, then by all means, stick with it.
A couple years ago, oh, good, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, when you do the jamming, can you do it without sugar, you know, like on the grocery store?
I'm sorry.
You just cut me off.
Sorry about
the
that.
Grocery store shelves, they have just the pure fruit.
Yeah.
I really like
doing that with, you know, but for me, that's like a fresh jam. But, you know, so to get jam to, for something to be shelf stable for a long period of time, it has to be either high sugar, which is, you know, your regular typical jam, or it has to be high acid, which is like your pickle, you know, like your vinegar pickle,
mm-hmm.
basically. So if you want it to last for a while and you want it to live on your shelf, you have to make sure that there's enough sugar in there. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to add it. So, for example, if you're doing, like I have a great recipe for apple butter in the first book, which is basically take apples, roast them for several hours so that they get really caramelized and sweet. and then just puree them. And then, and you don't even need to add sugar to that because they're so sweet. Mm. But it still has the, enough sugar in it that they're safe for canning.
That sounds great.
If you want to do a low sugar jam, I think, you know, you'd want to do it in small batches. And keep it in the fridge. And, you know, they sell pectins for, freezer jam. And that's a really great way to do a low sugar jam. I actually prefer not to use store bought pectin in my jams. I'd rather just work with the natural, you know, the natural thickening principles of whatever fruit I'm using, and plus lemons and sugar. That's really,
you know,
for me, that's my preferred.
I want
to
come back
that's
to
why in Can It Bottle It Smoke It, I have a recipe in there for apple pectin, which is just derived naturally from apple cores and apple skins.
Mm-hmm.
And then that pectin can help thicken up fruits like, say, blueberries or strawberries, things that need a little bit of extra oomph to them to thicken up. So that's a really good way. If you want to do low sugar, you know, just know that, or low added sugar, just know that you're just, you know, it might not last as long as if you're adding the a standard jam maker's recipe of sugar and lemon.
Before we go into this next break, I have to ask you a question because the word sugar came up a couple times. And you said that you use white sugar in some of the fruits to kind of extrapolate the flavor out of the fruit. Do you prefer cane sugar? Because I know sugar beet is becoming very popular as a source of sugar, and obviously almost all sugar beet is genetically modified now. Do you strive to look for cane sugar when you use that?
I buy organic white sugar. That is a sort of white sugar is really the standard for jam making. The rules are different when you get into brown sugar or honey, or even using raw sugar or agave. It's really tough to get the right thickening going on when you're using those different sugars. So I tend to stick to just organic white.
Do you know what the source of organic white sugar is from? Is it from sugar cane or is it from sugar beet?
That is an excellent question. I don't know, actually. I think I'd always just assumed it was sugar cane.
You know what? I want people to strive for this. If you have to use sugar in any of your recipes, you really need to make sure you're getting sugar cane-based sugar, because any sugar from sugar beet, all sugar beet today is genetically modified, and we know that GMO is causing all sorts of problems with digestive tract issues and so on. So if you want to use sugar, please do your best to make sure that it originates from sugar cane. Now, that's just a message to everybody out there. We're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview with Karen Solomon. You can learn more about her books by going to canitbottleitsmokeit.com or jamitpickleitcureit.com. We'll be right back.
Think you're the real deal, honey, and someone will always look out for you.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get 2 of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5300.
1-800-283-8585 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Karen Solomon. She is the author extraordinaire of Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It, Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It. Two great books. These are must-have books, I really feel. You know what, Karen? I'm so excited about going home and making flavored oils, and I'm so excited about trying to make my own mayonnaise.
Well, thank you, Carl. I hope you do, and your own salad dressing, and there's a lot of other things to go with that.
And the almond milk.
Oh, yeah, and the almond milk that we buy all the time.
I can't wait to make that.
Oh, my God. I think I say in the head note for rice milk that if you've been buying the stuff in a package, you've been paying through the nose like a sucker, you know?
Like a sucker. I like that.
Like rice milk is a cup of rice and 4 cups of water soaked overnight, and blend it up, and you've got rice milk.
Oh, wow. My God. That's
now, you
amazing.
Had questions about the smoked nuts, right?
Oh, no, the roasted nuts.
Roasted nuts, okay.
You have some cocoa nuts on here.
So you mean cacao nuts? Cacao nuts?
Yeah, the cacao nuts.
Is that how you pronounce it? Is that different than cocoa? Cacao?
So cacao is the raw nut that is the start of chocolate. Wouldn't it be great to be able to do your own chocolate at home, you know, starting with the cacao.
Right.
And, you know, that is for the home cook, you know, again, with my stipulations of it being a small kitchen and not a ton of special equipment, you know, making your own chocolate was pretty tough. You really need some special equipment for that. But I love cacao nibs. I mean, if you're a baker and you, you know, oftentimes people buy them and use them wherever you would use chocolate chips.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot less processed. It's just the raw cacao when it's roasted has kind of like a nutty and chocolatey flavor to it, and like a nice bit of crunch. And you know, some people swear by eating just straight up raw cacao. You know, that's a hard flavor to digest for me. That's a pretty it's pretty chalky, you know.
Right.
But the cacao nibs are wonderful. I use them wherever you throw in like walnuts into a quick bread.
So you just roast them? You just roast the nuts themselves?
Yeah, you roast them and then you shell them and then just crunch them up and you've got cacao.
That sounds good.
Cacao nibs ready to go.
That sounds good. How did you get into this, Karen?
Oh gosh. So I know people are often asking, like, did you grow up on a farm? And no, it was the opposite. I grew up in, you know, working class family in New England, and to this day, my mom still buys her 7-Seas salad dressing and her Diet Shasta soda. Oh, and that's what I grew up on. But my partner, you know, his family really traveled the globe, and they were very, you know, just very global people. And when I went to his parents' house for the first time, like about 15 years ago, so ago, his mom had made her own salad dressing for dinner. Like, you know, made it in the bottom of the bowl, like, just like Julia Child tells you.
Right.
A little oil, a little vinegar, a little garlic, a little salt, mash it up, and you got salad dressing.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you made salad dressing? Like to me, that was just an amazing thing to even consider making. Like, it didn't even occur to me
right.
that you could do that. And it really blew me away. And it kind of got me thinking, like, well, of course, you know, I asked her to show me how to do it, and she did. And it got me thinking, well, gosh, if you can do that, can you make ketchup? Can you make mayonnaise? You know, I mean, I always like to cook. But it got me thinking, if you can do that, what, you know, what other condiments could you make? And then it just kind of had me thinking about the whole, I don't know, like the whole food system, you know, like why should you be a slave to all that stuff that comes under the lid or in a box down aisle six?
No, you know? I agree.
There's just so many great reasons. If you like to cook, there's so many great reasons to just make your own stuff whenever you possibly can.
I love the idea.
You can't always do that stuff. I mean, you know, I'm a working mom, and you know, if I need a tablespoon of mayonnaise on a Tuesday night, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm always going to bust out the food processor. But you know, but it's nice to know that when you want to, and more often than not, that you certainly can, and that you, I think it gives people a certain power, you know, a certain sense of self-sufficiency to be able
yeah.
to make their own stuff like that.
Have you been contacted by like one of the food networks about your books, about coming on and doing a show about these types of, you know, making these types of staple items yourself?
You know, Carl, sadly, no. I don't know what their problem is.
I think that, no, I'm serious. I don't know what, they're missing the boat because, okay, sure, Emerald can show you how to make this. And who's that one? The Barefoot Contessa, and then Gia. What's the other girl? Giada.
And of course, Paula Deen.
Paula Deen. You could teach Paula. You know what?
And all those guys are great. And you know, one of the things when I give a talk, I often say, you know, there's so many wonderful books, and those folks included, so many wonderful books that can tell you what's for dinner tonight, what's for dinner tomorrow night. You know, I will never answer that question. That's not the kind of cooking I do. You're on your own for that. The only thing I can give you is you know, I like to I want to stock your pantry. I want to stock your freezer. I want to stock your refrigerator. I want you to start whatever it is that you're making with the best possible ingredients.
I like that. That's what I was saying. It's almost like as though you make the things that make the other chefs have a job. You know what I mean?
So Thank you. Ooh, yeah. You're hired as my agent, sir.
Yeah, there you go. So I think they need a show on one of those channels so that you can teach people how to do this stuff. Because I got to tell you something. It's more than just the fact that this is kind of a lost art now. You know, because back in the day, you know, people had jobs, but they also grew their own foods and made their own soap. And they did all these things because you had no choice. There were no grocery stores.
That's right. And you had to do it. And if you didn't do it, you didn't have it.
Right. And I think the answer to a lot of the problems that we have today is returning to a more sustainable way of life. We were just talking about this. I'm reading a book on Darwin, and we just talked about this the other day, and this notion that the thing that makes humans different than any other species on Earth is our brain. And we look at that like it makes us superior. But the reality is that we're leaving a terrible footprint on this Earth. How superior are we? You know,
yeah.
a bear can go through his entire life and not destroy anything. A human being goes through his entire life and leaves how many plastic bottles behind and how many, you know, other things behind. And so the point of a sustainable life is really not even a luxury anymore. I think it's really a necessity. It's becoming a necessity. People have to start to learn to make these things themselves. And like you said, the gasoline for carting that 1/2 gallon of almond milk from, you know, Altadena Dairy to wherever it's going, it's like that's a waste of money if you can make it in your kitchen.
Just a waste of resources, you know, and things, and you know, and I don't want to. I'm always trepidatious to say, you know, I'm not writing a manifesto. Like I never feel like I'm going to say to people, you must do that, you know. But I kind of like, you know, it's sort of a baby steps approach. Are you familiar with Meatless Mondays?
Oh, that was from Oprah, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I forgot who started it, but you know, it's just a movement of foot. I'm sorry, I'm not giving proper credit to who started it, but you know, it's just a movement of foot that if, you know, one day a week, just one day, if you didn't eat meat that one day, the environmental impact of that and the health, you know, the health benefits of that.
Yeah, but they're coming to the end of the interview, and it's unfair to me to drop this on you, but that's, the meat is not the problem. It's the type of meat we have, the factory farm meat. If you eat grass-fed beef has the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratios as salmon. It has conjugated linoleic acid. It's good for you. The problem is, in order to feed the masses, we've abandoned good animal husbandry. We've turned these animals into sick creatures, and then we eat them.
Yeah, that's I'm very picky about my meat.
But
I think it's good because when you're picky that way, it makes you eat less of it.
Well,
I think it's a good thing too.
Yeah, or at least strive to get the good quality products that you need to. And once again, that forces you to go back to the family farm and create a relationship with your farmer. Let's go ahead and plug your website again. Your website is canitbottleitsmokeit.com. You can get these books. You can get Can It, Bottle It, Smoke It. What was the other one? I'm sorry. Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It.
PickleItCureIt.com.
There you go. And you can go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders Bookstore, wherever finer books are sold. Karen, thanks so much for being on the show.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Karen.
Take care. See you later.
All right, so there you go. We also want to thank John Collins from Hyperion Biotechnology. You can learn more about them by going to fatiguebiomarker.com. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.
Bye.